This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started way back in 1979. We're broadcasting from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito. We say 9 a.m. Eastern time today because we're leading into bid for bargains. What did what did the great Pat Summerall always say? 60 minutes next, followed by Murder, She Wrote, except for those of you listening on the West Coast. All right, well, a lot to get to today. I know we're going to talk some wrestling. We're going to talk some postseason boys basketball. The regional pairings are out. Sherrard are the Tigers are the conference champs. They secured that last night. More on that. We'll talk what girls basketball, wrestling, a lot of different things leading up to bid for bargains coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But I know earlier this week we talk about, you know, some of these stories that really just, you know, knock you down and you know, really the whole state when you cover interscholastic athletics. You know, this great sorrow that we've learned about this week with the tremendous talent in the west central portion of the state. Pittsfield, this young lady by the name of Reese Ramsey, who's only a freshman, but a tremendous varsity basketball player, an unbelievable impact for Pittsfield, a really good team, and unfortunately died in a tragic traffic accident. Two of her teammates also involved hospitalized. I you know, you just feel for that situation. You can relate to it because you think about kids you cover in this area. And there's been a lot of great coverage on, you know, just school stepping up, beautiful spoken words. I know Chris Dewar is a TV guy in the Quincy area. He's had some great posts. But and I know you had a chance to see this young lady play when she was in junior high because Mercer County, their freshman class went to the IESA state tournament at the same time as Pikeland Junior High went and got to see her play. And I think you told me off the air, Ty, 40 points in a 24-minute junior high game.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you what type of talent she had. And averaging, I think, 20 points this year as a freshman in varsity level. And I know Pittsfield was having a very good year, but I just don't know. Feel for that community in that area just dealing with that immense tragedy.
Yep, it's really, like you said, just an unimaginable, like, thing to have happen. And, you know, like you were talking about, she was a terrific, tremendous, outstanding basketball player. Where, like you said, you know, the numbers for her this season, she was the leading scorer on a team that was 22-4, that is 22-4. She was averaging 18.5 points per game as a freshman. Some of her, like, junior high numbers, I know sometimes we can laugh about, oh, who cares about, you know, what a junior high result is, but some of the eye-popping figures that she had. So as we were talking about, I got a chance to see her play once in person. It was when she was a seventh grader, and I didn't know her name at the time, and I didn't look up what her name was. I just remember this kid for Pikeland that had pigtails and was running around and just the best junior high girls basketball player I've ever seen. And I remember I walked into the gym that day during their quarterfinal game. The game was in Auburn is where that was that year when my little sister's team got down there. And when I walked in the gym, her Reese Ramsey's team was playing Pikeland Junior High, which feeds into the Pittsfield High School. They were up something like 24-0 in their state quarterfinal game, and I saw bits of her game in the semifinals because they play the quarters and the semis the same day in that setup down there. And that was the game she scored 40 in one game. I think she had like 32 in the first half. And during her 2 years at Pikeland Junior High in girls basketball, they went undefeated. They won the state championship both years in class 3A, I guess is what it is at the junior high level. There's four classes total. And I remember the other thing that's funny too, thinking about that is, you know, how funny it can be when you're like watching, you know, a kid, you know, like a family member, like for me, my sister, or for people's, you know, their daughters or whatever. The team that Tegan's team lost to was Mayo Middle School out of Paris. And I remember going into that game, Tegan's team was something like 25-0, yeah. And they just got hammered in the first half by this team. And Merce kind of made a game of it, kind of, but never really. I mean, it threatened to win. And I remember, like, some of the people we were with were like, who in the world is going to beat that team? That Paris Mayo, oh my God, they're unbelievable. And then lo and behold, that Pikeland team led by Reese Ramsey, like the following Wednesday or whenever the state title game was, beat them 54-11. And so they went undefeated both 7th and 8th grade years, won the state title both years. And I think one of the most incredible things about this kid's, you know, basketball career, if you watch junior high girls basketball, and I've watched my fair share having three younger sisters, there are games where teams struggle to score 10 points in a single game, right? I mean, it can be really low scoring and really ugly basketball. This kid, Reese Ramsey, in her junior high girls basketball career, this is two seasons, scored over 1,000 points by herself. Scored over 1,000 points in her 7th and 8th grade year. And, you know, I was reading the story that Chris Dewar wrote, kind of his, like, it was like in memorial of her. And he mentioned how some of the people down in that area had been talking about her having a chance to, you know, probably not set the single, you know, the career scoring record in the IHSA, because it's like up over 4,800, I think. But I think with how her career started, there was a chance, and he said this too, that she maybe if could got in the top 10 or top 5 of all time individual scores in girls basketball in the state's history. When you talk about a freshman kid averaging 18.5 per game, that's probably around, I don't know, 500 or so points, probably. Yeah. So when you look at that, and of course she's only going to get better as she gets older, because she's playing against basically kids that are 3 years older than her and still scoring 18.5 per game. So just a tremendous player. And I was lucky enough, and again, like I said, I didn't look what her name was in the program or anything. I just remember this kid that was unbelievable, and you couldn't like stop watching her play because she was just such an advanced player at that age. And just seeing the success she had this season, you know, where people, it puts in perspective, you know, where like you're talking probably one day if you're down there about, you know, oh man, this team's going to be a dynasty, and how great is it going to be to follow them or cover them? And then, you know, one night a terrible tragedy happens and, you know, the kid's gone, and no one's going to ever get to see her play again or see the potential that maybe she could have realized as being. I think a lot of people had kind of, you know, circled her as like the next big thing in Illinois high school basketball. And it just is really sad that that's not going to get to come to fruition. But that's secondary to, of course, you know, the loss of life of a kid who's probably 15 years old, and you know, that her family and her friends and just that whole community and area down there. I just can't imagine the sorrow and just the feeling everybody probably has down there, because it's unimaginable. I mean, like, even me, like I said, I don't know this kid at all. I watched her play like one time for a half as a 7th grade kid, and it, like, I've been feeling really bad the past couple of days just because it's, I just couldn't imagine the people who were close to her, what they feel like. So, like I said, you know, all my thoughts are with everybody down in the Pittsfield area, the Pikeland School District. Just a really unimaginable tragedy. And, It just is really, really bad. Really, really awful, I should say.
Yeah, and I think no matter what time of year this accident would have happened, terrible. But you think of when it happened and how excited that kid had to probably be because her first opportunity to play in her first high school postseason, right? And then two of her teammates that the talent level at that school and with that team is very young, because was it two other sophomores that got injured, or another freshman and sophomore?
Freshman and another sophomore.
That are key players.
I believe ended up being their three leading scorers on the season.
So that's the type of pedigree, and they've been having a great year even with that young talent, and you just think of that drastic change in emotion of that community being so excited about this young team, and this, because they've had a good year. And then getting a first opportunity to play at, like that, like I said, the IHSA postseason, but getting back to, you know, scoring 1,000 in junior high basketball, you said it earlier, that those are 24-minute games you're playing. They're not 32-minute games. And I think she was probably going to be on pace to get into that top 10 because she's going to score more points probably as she added up those years, sophomore, junior, and senior. And then they were a team positioned to play a lot of extra games in the postseason, too. Yeah. And just not to get that. And, like, I just don't know, you know, the time it's going to take to get over that. And especially all those kids in that school and their teammates. And then you even think about the opponents, you know, in that area having to say, well, we're not playing against this kid we've watched for so long and the generational talent she is. But anyway, like I said, it can, you know, those things can happen anywhere, and you just, you know, just a tragic accident. And like I said, there have been some great, powerful written words about it, but can't help but think about that as the girls' IHSA postseason starts actually today.
Yeah, and Matt Chuckman had a great kind of piece he wrote to tribute to Reese Ramsey on, I think, MuddyRiverSports.com is where you can read that. And like you said, Chris Dewar, the thing he wrote was just incredible, mm-hmm. and really captured the severity of you know, the moment, and unfortunately just the tragic nature of what took place with her. And, you know, I was thinking too about this, and I was looking at their postseason, you know, track. Now, they were the top seed in their regional, and of course this is all secondary to everything, and they're scheduled to play on, I would think it'd be Monday, right, is the regional semifinal round. And I just can't imagine how those kids could suit up and play. I mean, I just, and like you said, the opponent, how could they play? How could anybody mm-hmm. play down there? I mean, I just don't know. I haven't heard anything or read anything about what Pittsfield's, you know, plans are. And obviously, who cares about high school girls basketball regional play when something like this happens? But it just is. It's awful, and you got to let those kids mourn and grieve in whatever way they have to, and if that involves playing or not playing, I mean, obviously whatever course of action they take is completely understandable, and it just is a real shame. I mean, I just, it's almost like I'm at a loss for words, because you just can't even imagine something like this happening. It's just, and you touched about it too, there's been some really cool, like, tributes to her from around the state, really, because of just the level of player and the kind of notoriety she had. Where I saw, like, the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament on Saturday, or what would have been Thursday, the championship day, everybody, like, the fans wore red, and they raised money for the Ramsey family. I think they raised something like $500, and I think Quincy High School did something similar to that, too, for her, where you've seen a lot of teams and a lot of schools wearing red to support, you know, the Pittsfield community with, you know, the awful, terrible, tragic loss of life that transpired, unfortunately. And of course, not just her, but the two teammates she has that are hospitalized currently as well. You know, obviously thoughts with them and their families and just everybody down there. I just really can't imagine what they're going through.
Yep, and it's a story we'll continue to kind of follow, and, you know, what's next. And I think the superintendent of that school district, I thought it was great. His, like, note was basically, we don't know how we're going to move forward and what that path is going to look like. You know what I'm saying? Because there's just so much tragedy that we're not sure, you know, how to move forward because we're dealing with all of these emotions. And that's the truth of the matter, that they're still dealing with just the emotional impact of the tragedy that happened Monday. But yeah, it's still such an unbelievable thing. But anyway, yeah, thinking about that community and really the connection of interscholastic athletics, and we're all kind of connected by that. So words about Reese Ramsey to begin our conversation today. We want to segue there. We want to talk about boys basketball last night, or do we want to go to girls basketball postseason? Now, we do have a couple. Why don't you highlight that we do have two broadcasts coming up today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of broadcasts coming up today. High school boys basketball, as of now, scheduled for Rock Ridge to play against Warrensburg Latham at the Riverton Shootout, which just has a terrific field again this year. I was talking with Coach Harris on our post game last night. I think there's six games, and it's 12 teams across Class 1A and 2A that all, I think, you know, have chances to get to the state tournament. That's the high level. The like marquee game tonight is Williamsville against Benton, who both were state finalists last year. Benton the runner-up. Williamsville took fourth. They've both been, you know, inside the top five at times all year, and you know, sometimes I think Williamsville's spent time at number one and Benton's been at number two. They're both in the top 10 this week, so that's the last game of the night. Rock Ridge plays right in the middle against Warrensburg Latham, who is 24-4, I believe. So that should be a pretty nice test for the Rockets. And then we have girls basketball postseason action tonight, regional quarterfinal, Rock Ridge against Mercer County in Aledo. I think that should be a pretty good game too tonight. That game tips off at 7 with pregame coverage at 6:30. And then the boys game, as we mentioned earlier in the afternoon today, 2:30 pregame with the tip-off set for right around 3. So with that, I think we can talk back now about last night's boys basketball games in the Track West. You mentioned it off the top. Sherrard, a tight win over Monmouth-Roseville, 51-48. With the win, Sherrard clinches the outright conference championship in the Track West. So Sherrard wins both the boys and girls conference titles outright in basketball this season in the Track. With the win, moving to 25-3 overall and now 8-1 in the conference. Winning the Three Rivers Athletic Conference is a pretty big deal, in my opinion. That's a great league this year, and to have just one loss going into the final game and to, you know, win the league outright still with another whole game for everybody to play is a pretty impressive feat. So congratulations to Sherrard and Coach Alex Johnson. They've had a really special year, and just like another tight game last night, they just keep finding ways to pull it out in the end.
And I haven't looked, but I would think, is that their first boys basketball title since the Olympic Conference days, maybe?
Potentially. Probably.
Yeah, and they've put together a special year. There's no question about that. And, you know, with only three wins, and they've
three losses.
Three losses. Excuse
only
me. 25-3, and then setting the single season win mark this year. They did that earlier this week. So there's a lot of, you know, check marks that they're putting on the board. And, you know, a week from Monday, the postseason starts, but able to grind your way to a victory, you know, one of those close games last night. And you expect to play basically a lot of close games in the postseason because that's what kind of happens in postseason basketball.
Yep, and I've talked about this with basically every coach in the conference this year, is just every night there are no guaranteed wins in the Track, I think, in boys basketball. I think everybody is solid, and I think on any night, any team could beat another team. Like we saw last week with Mercer County upsetting Rock Ridge, and like last night, you know, the game where Monmouth-Roseville takes Sherrard down to the wire. I just think every team every night has the chance to beat the other team, and I think with that it makes everybody stronger. Where you look to the postseason coming up, I mean, I think, and we'll talk about the brackets more in a moment, but it feels like there's always at least like four of the six teams in the division are playing for regional championships. There's always a lot of postseason success in the Track, and I think a big reason for that is the, you know, the type of games that everybody plays every week in the league and the type of crowds there are. I mean, those games feel big time, I think, every Friday night, no matter who's playing. The games, people come, they draw well, big crowds, it's loud, and a lot of the times they're competitive to the very end. So I think that winning the Three Rivers, like I said earlier, is a big deal, and just congrats to Sherrard. It's always It's nice to win a conference, especially a conference as deep and as good as the Track West is this year.
Well, and if you really look the last couple of the weeks, right? I mean, there have been a lot of good games in the league that have come down to the wire. And you just hope, I hope just everybody is as healthy as possible going into regional week. I think that maybe is still a question. It was nice to see Landon Wheatley back playing last night because he's a key cog for Rockridge. You hope Kyler Owens can come back and play. Just bummed that he couldn't play last night. Hopefully he can play in the postseason because he's such a dynamic player. And you want all those great players to get the opportunity to shine in postseason play. But, again, back to Sherrard, their high expectations coming into the season. They've lived up to that. And I know they have Mirko left next week, and then they get a great non-conference opportunity kind of to end the year out of the Big Northern, a pretty good Dixon team. And, credit to Sherrard, they've kind of ramped up their schedule a little bit this year. And we'll see what happens. It all starts over, the following week with the postseason. And Rockridge got off to a good start last night, which was key for them. And they get Landon Wheatley back, and they hit a bunch – But you play a little easier and smoother when you make threes.
Yeah.
I tell you that. And the Rockets made a lot of threes last night. In maybe the past couple of weeks, they haven't made as many of those. And maybe if they would have, the results maybe would have been a little bit different if they make the threes last week against Mirko and the threes against Sherrard in the two previous meetings.
Yeah, so I know the game against Mercer County last week, Rockridge is 4 of 21 from three. And last night they made 11 threes, 7 in the first half. And even without Kyler Owens, Orion is not a bad team. I think they're still pretty solid. And, 71-52 is a little misleading of a score because of how hot Rockridge shot it. But Orion in the second half made a couple of runs to get within single digits, I think two separate times, where they hung around, and I think one time they had the ball once down 8. I think it was in the third quarter, and weren't able to score. But that Orion team, even without Owens, is still dangerous because they have some talented players still that can score the basketball. And for them, without him, I think it's still, you got to learn to play without a guy where you just don't have a kid anymore. You can just hand the ball to him and say, here you go, go score. We need you to score. And they had won 9 in a row. They were 2-0 without him. I mean, granted, the games were Monmouth, Roseville, and Geneseo, but I still kind of liked what I saw out of them last night. And you saw some of their other kids step up, like Joe Norton's a sophomore off the bench and had a great night. He scored 12 points. He knocked down a couple of threes, got to the rim. He's a nice piece for them. Will Clark is a 6'5 junior who was hurt to start the season that is active when he plays. He slid into the starting lineup to replace Owens last night. And then, like Duncan Adamson's a solid player, and Maddox Arnold and the Jake Bainbridge. They got good athletes on that team. So I hope Kyler Owens can play. The issue is it's a stress fracture in his right foot. So basically what Coach Anderson told me last night is they're hoping that he would be back for the regional. That's what they're hoping. He said, probably 50-50. But personally, I think he'll play. I mean, I just don't think that kid will sit out. I just think he'll do anything he can to play in the regional. I hope he does, because that regional, which we'll talk about the full pairings coming up in our next segment, but could be pretty fun. But like you said, on the Rockridge side, Landon Wheatley makes such a big difference when he's in the lineup, just kind of as a floor general. And you look at Rockridge, they got the full package last night of scoring. Wade Richard with 20, Caleb Kunico with 17, Baylen Lehmans with 15. So you look at that, Richard and Lehmans combined for 35. Mm-hmm. Landon Bull finishes with 11. So four players in double figures. Real quickly want to note, Caleb Kunico made 3 3-pointers in the first quarter last night. He became the all-time leader in career three-pointers at Rockridge in a storied program. 237, he passed the record set by Gentry Whiteman, who had 236. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, that's a that's a great record to break, that's for sure, with all the Whitemans. And
Brian Heath.
Yeah.
I was talking with Coach Harris post-game last night, and I said I remember before Caleb Kunico's first start his sophomore year when I did a pregame interview with Coach Say, talking kind of about the newcomers that year, Kunico and Wheatley and Bull sophomore year, because they went to state, of course, their freshman year, and that was when Nate Henry was playing, and was it Brody Whiteman? I always forget his first name, the other Whiteman that transferred to Rock Ridge. So he graduated that year in Braden Deem. So they had a, you know, kind of new group of sophomores that all were playing, where Bull had played his freshman year, but like Wheatley was playing at the varsity level real minutes for the first time, and same with Kunico. And Coach Say said, he said about Kunico, he goes, he's the best shooter that's ever come through this program. And this is what I thought. I'm like, yeah, right, with some of the dudes who played here. But he was right. I mean, he was right. He's just automatic, it feels like, when he has time to shoot it. So awesome, awesome, you know, record for a kid like that to hold, because there have been some great players and some great shooters in that program's history. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, when you see the Rock Ridge record book and the names of those players that are, you know, in the top 10 of scoring, and then they're three-point shooters too. Now, so for Orion, though, do they have Riverdale left next week in the league? Do they have a non-conference game to end the year, or no?
It's just Riverdale left for them.
So, yeah, so the big storyline going into the postseason is going to be, you know, is Kyler Owens going to play in that regional at Mercer County? Because they'll get the winner.
We'll talk about the regional coming up in our next segment.
Yeah, so. And then, you know, apparently Mercer County hit a wall last night. They've been playing so good. But I think, you know, when you look at Riverdale at home this year, haven't they basically, they've been close games. They've played against the elite of the league, or they've won all their games up
there.
They
played Rock Ridge to a tight game. They were tied in the fourth. Rock Ridge won by 8. Sherrard beat him basically in the final seconds by 3 up there. So, yeah, they're good. And they are very, very young. They are going to be really good next year and the year
in all sports.
Yeah. So, 59-33 was the final last night. Riverdale, I think, just kind of thumped Mercer County from start to finish. I'm not sure that game was really ever close. I think it was 50-25 at the end of the third. So, yep. So, the 5-game winning streak for Mercer County snapped. They're season concludes next week. They have a tough game at home against the conference champ. Sherrard left, and then they play, I think, United on Friday, who they should beat.
Well, I tell you though, Tuesday will be great, because that'll be a big house in that building at Merco. And that'll be nice, because that's, you're going to get a taste of what that building's going to be like during regional week, because Sherrard will bring a big house with that team Tuesday night. But, you know, Mercer County's been on a great run, but, you know, just apparently, you know, Riverdale apparently got off to a good start. We didn't play very well early, and that's what happens when you play good teams. And I didn't see the turnover number. That's the difference, you know, for most teams, especially young teams. Eagles didn't turn the ball over last week against Rock Ridge. See what happened. You can normally stay in games if you turn the ball over a lot. And play a good team, you're going to get rolled like that.
And for Mercer County, their margin for error, I think, is just so slim, because they just really struggle to score. Like, they just, you know, I mean, like, Bullens is a really good scorer, but to me, he's really the only kid that is able to create his own shot for them this year. They've got some kids that I think, as they mature and get older, will be able to do that. But I think that, you know, just they're offensively challenged with the personnel they have this year. And when that's why for them it's so important to get out to a good start, because they struggle to play from behind, because when they have to speed it up and try and score and catch up, it just is hard for them to keep up like that. So yeah, a tough night for them last night, but they've been on a nice run. But like we talk about with the track, it just, you gotta bring it every night. Mm-hmm. If you don't bring it, you get smoked, and that's just the difference between the Lincoln Trail, where you know you cannot bring it and still win most of those games pretty handily. But you know, the track is just such a good league.
And that's why,
from top to bottom, you got to bring it every night or you lose.
Well, and that's why, for them, to me, it's a good way for them to end the year. The regular season next week is like, if you're going to have any hope, you got to try to have a competitive game Tuesday night against the team in the area this year that won the league.
Yeah.
And they'll get that chance. Now, does Mirko have a game then later in the week, or is that it?
I just said that. It was, yeah, they play United.
Oh, that's right, United. Sorry, yeah. I'm not listening close enough today. But so they'll get United, and then Sherrard Tuesday, which is a good test, and the regular season comes to an end.
Crazy. So one more thing before we get to our first break, and then we'll come back and kind of break down the postseason brackets for both boys and girls basketball. Wrestling postseason rolling on, individual sectionals going on last night and into today. So There are four local wrestlers that have advanced to the semifinal round. Jude Finch at 138 pounds at the Oregon sectional. He's now 36-0 on the season. He's into the semifinals. And also up in Oregon, Maddox Anderson from Orion at 190 pounds is into the semifinals. I believe he's 46-2 on the year. And then for Mercer County, they're wrestling down in Clinton, and they have two into the semifinals as well at 190 pounds. Bodie Salmon is in the semis, and at 100 and I don't know his weight.
Oh, Eli
165, Burns. Eli Burns. 165 is in the semis as well. That's Eli Burns for Mercer County. And some other kids are still still alive in the, you know, the consolation bracket, what they call it, wrestle back.
Yes.
So you got to finish in the top four to advance to state as an individual.
Yeah, and I think a lot of attention on Jude Finch and, you know, the season he's putting together. I mean, he's clearly he's been the favorite. The target's been on his back. I know he got off to a little bit of a late start out of football, but I mean, it hasn't impacted
him.
He has been mowing him down. So that'd be such a great story if a kid like that can repeat his state champ.
Yes.
I think everybody loves that kid, and I'll always default when everybody says Jude Finch. I won't think of him. The first thing I'll think about him is not him winning state wrestling championships, but Coach Sam Graves always saying the same thing about, man, if I ever wind up in a dark alley, I want Jude Finch with me. So good luck to the local kids as they try to get down to the State Farm Center next week and the individual state wrestling meet. So again, those four kids that are in the semifinals, again, Jude Finch and Maddox Anderson, they're up in Oregon, and then down in Clinton in central Illinois is Bodie Salmon and Eli Burns from Mercer County. So good luck to those youngsters.
Yes, I am softly planning on maybe going down to the state wrestling finals next Saturday if, like, Jude Finch is alive for a back-to-back championship. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, and I think of all the medalists that Rock Ridge has had over the years that have won state titles down there, and credit to Lucas Smith and just the heritage and tradition of that program with Coach Amy and all the great wrestlers that and what they've accomplished. So good luck to them, and hopefully the two Mirco kids they can get down there. Be nice to see Bodie Salmon as a senior finish down at state, and then I know high expectations for Eli Burns, who's a junior.
Yep, and Maddox Anderson placed down there last year as a junior on the Orion side of things, and I know they've had high expectations for him, and I mean, you look at it, what, 46-2, he has had a terrific year too. So good luck to all those guys. Hopefully they're all moving on to Champaign at the end of the day today.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We need to talk about girls basketball too, right? That
and
starts
boys,
today,
and
the boys regional
pairings, yep.
Starting a week from Monday. All right, it's the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. The whole team is starting to assemble for Bid for Bargains coming up at 9 o'clock. Get ready to call Tab Ballmer. He'll be the first one that calls.
Everybody's the team's assembling except us.
Yeah.
We won't be a part of
didn't
it.
Didn't somebody call, though, yesterday? It was hilarious when I was here like at 11 o'clock in the morning and somebody was calling to try to make a bid yesterday.
No, they were calling to ask what we had left over. Hasn't happened yet. Two people this week did that. So.
They got in the time machine, man.
Yeah.
All right, Dale Jones, Auctioneer Studios, leading up to Bid for Bargains, 9 o'clock. Let's take a break. More on the WRMJ Sportsline in a moment.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license?
At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
Back on the WMJ Sportsline program on this Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios downtown Aledo, getting set for Bid for Bargains coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Well, a week from Monday, the boys basketball postseason starts. The pairings were released yesterday. The seeds were announced Thursday. To me, I don't think there was much surprise in the seeding, at least for our local teams. Were you surprised at all?
I thought Canton would maybe be a little higher, but after talking with Coach Harris last night, I did not know this. When they beat East Peoria, one of East Peoria's stud sophomores was not playing.
Okay.
Quentin Kitt, who's getting Division I looks already. So that then, to me, says they should have been lower. So that's the only thing last week when we did the mock seeding. I thought East Peoria was at full strength. They were not in that game that Canton beat them in. So if I would have known that, I would have adjusted accordingly, and probably this is, I think, how it should have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think really when you look at kind of one of the most intriguing games then, to me, in the subsectional is Macomb-Canton right off the bat. That'll be the first game for both of them, considered basically the semifinals of the Macomb Regional, but Macomb playing on their home floor. Now, it's going to be interesting but I think another intriguing game for me is, you know, we haven't seen Alleman play in a long time. They haven't had much success in the Big Six. Well, no success really in the Big Six, but just playing that schedule, does that mean anything? I don't know. And they'll play Mercer County in the first round a week from Monday.
And that's at the Mercer County Regional. You kind of flip-flop there. So the Macomb Regional has, like you said, Macomb and Canton playing in the semifinals. Rock Ridge has a bye to the semifinals as well. They will play either Farmington or Knoxville. The semifinal games are February 26th. That's a Wednesday. The quarterfinal games are Monday, February 24th. So at the Mercer County Regional, which is hosted in Aledo, like you just said, Mercer County and Alleman play in the quarterfinal round on Monday, the 24th at 6 p.m. And then the other quarterfinal game there is Monmouth-Roseville hosting Kewaunee. The winner of Monmouth-Roseville-Kewaunee plays Sherrard. The winner of Mercer County-Alleman plays Orion.
And, you know, that's not an easy draw for Sherrard
bat
either. And you're factoring in a situation. And that's why, you know, everybody likes to get the higher seed. But I still, and you talk to some coaches, they don't like to hang around and wait forever to play a game. And Sherrard's going to wait 6 days from when they play Dixon Thursday night to Wednesday night to play, and they're going to play a team that is playing Monday night on that floor. And
Not playing on that floor.
Oh, correction, that's right. They play the play-in games are at the higher seed,
yes.
So that's going to be at Monmouth-Roseville. So that will have less of an impact, I guess, but still playing a game. But you look at their potential opponent, whether it's Monmouth-Roseville or Kewaunee, they've played competitive games against Sherrard, so not an easy draw. And then Orion gets the winner of Mercer County Alleman, but that would be a great Wednesday semifinal if you have a situation where Sherrard plays Monmouth-Roseville and Orion plays Mercer County at that Mercer County gym, with those four schools coming to Aledo for
like
that.
Like a de facto conference tournament, just without Rock Ridge and Riverdale. But yeah, I mean, I think Monmouth-Roseville and Kewaunee, they played a competitive game. Monmouth-Roseville beat them by 10 a couple of weeks ago. Mercer County and Alleman played back in November, and that was decently competitive, wasn't it? I mean, I don't think, in my opinion, I do not think that Alleman is like an automatic win for Mercer County. I think they'll have to play. I mean, I think they're definitely the favorite, but I don't think it's like they're just going to walk on the floor and beat them no matter what.
Well, and yeah, I don't have a sample size of all of them since late November. I mean, really, other than their Western Big Six results of, you know, them getting routed basically every Friday night in that league, with the exception of Geneseo. Did they keep it fairly competitive against Galesburg or no?
I don't know. But I do know this. So I think that Monmouth Roseville and Mercer County, though, are both favored in their games. I think it will be Sherrard versus Monmouth Roseville and Orion against Mercer County in the semifinals. I hope that's what it is. And I also hope that Kyler Owens is okay, because I really, that Orion team with the year they've had, they deserve to have, be at full strength in the postseason, because I want to see what they can do.
Yeah. And I don't, but I'm a little bit nervous. I don't want to have to watch Rock Ridge play Farmington in a postseason event again.
Yeah,
we had that in football. But
And I'll say this: Farmington will beat Knoxville.
Yeah, but yeah. Farmington. But to back up, you told me Knoxville boys got to win this week.
They
right?
beat West Central. They avenged a 17-point loss
one
from earlier
what?
In the season.
What's their record?
1-27.
Wow.
They play Weathersfield today in the Lincoln Control Conference Tournament. And I have told people, and I will say this on the air, I am picking Knoxville to beat Weathersfield today. I think they're going to beat Weathersfield today.
For a two-win season?
Yeah.
All right, so looking at that Macomb Regional then, Knoxville at Farmington, that's the play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner of that game will play in the first semifinal, 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 26th, against the Rock Ridge Rockets, officially the 2 seed in the subsectional. Then Macomb, a 3 seed, taking on 8 seed Canton. And it's just, it's hard for me to get a read on what Canton is, because we don't, there's really not a lot of common opponents. They play in the Western Macomb Holiday, or the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. But other than that, they play in that Mid-Illini League, and you really don't know.
They lost a non-conference game to Monmouth Roseville by 8 in December, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're right in the same, I would say, pack with Monmouth Roseville, Mercer County, and Farmington. I mean, I think they're pretty comparable to all those teams.
Yeah, and I just, too, you just, with what Coach Anderson has done with Macomb in that program and them playing on their home floor, that's going to be a tough out if the Rockets, you know, are able to advance to the championship. That's going to be a tremendous house on a Friday night in Macomb, because I reflect back to those days in the Olympic when, you know, our local teams would travel down and play Macomb on a Friday night. That was always such a tough place to play. So that's two parts of the subsectional, and I want to make sure. So the Mercer County regional winner plays into the which we regional?
El Paso Gridley.
So that's the Merco regional plays the El Paso Gridley regional winner. And I think this is kind of a regional that's up for grabs, because the 6 seed in that regional, or in that subsectional, is Bloomington Central Catholic. So that's kind of the firepower there. They open up Monday, February 24th, Eureka at Bloomington Central Catholic. And then also on that Monday, the 24th, Normal U-High hosting Chillicothe IVC, the Gray Ghost. And then you have the semifinals on Wednesday, the 26th, El Paso Gridley. Remember, their top player transferred out at the beginning of the year. They'll play the winner of Central Catholic Eureka, and then Tri-Valley out of the heart of Illinois Conference. They meet the winner of IVC Normal U-High, and then the Friday night is the regional championship game on the 28th. And then the Tremont Regional, the winner of that regional meets the Macomb Regional winner. That's where Rock Ridge is at, Macomb again. Deer Creek Mackinac plays at Clinton. That's the Monday, the 24th game. Olympia is at Peoria Notre Dame. They have a lopsided number in the loss column, but they've kind of played shorthanded most of the year, so they're kind of a wild card in entering postseason play. Top seed in that subsectional, Manual, they'll meet the winner of Clinton DMAC. And then Tremont, the 4 seed in the subsectional, they meet the winner of Olympia, Peoria, Notre Dame. Tremont, of course, out of that heart of the Illinois Conference. And then the championship, Friday the 28th. So, again, the Tremont regional winner meets the Macomb Regional winner, the Mercer County Regional winner, meets the El Paso Gridley Regional winner at Sectional Week, which is held on County Road NN at Sherrard High School.
And there are going to be some good teams at that sectional. Holy smokes. I think Manuel, definitely a pretty heavy favorite at the Tremont Regional. The only thing for them that might be a little weird is if they do play Tremont in the final, you know, they'd be playing basically a true road game. Peoria Notre Dame, though, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Tremont and got to the championship game either. At the El Paso Gridley Regional, like you said, it feels pretty open. El Paso Gridley's had a great year. Tri-Valley's had a great year. U-High is very good, too. And like we saw, Bloomington Central Catholic took Rock Ridge to the final second. So I think that is a regional that four teams could potentially win it. And that would feed into the team who wins the Mercer County Regional. So I'm excited. I just think postseason basketball is so fun. It's just kind of fun to take a look at what some of these matchups potentially could be when we get, you know, even the regional semifinal round. I mean, will be some great games in all regionals, I think.
It's interesting. And seed in that sub game, and their best player, he went to, was it Metamora? Is that where he went to, right?
So.
In the offseason. So, I mean, that's the kind of talent they have. And we know the heart of Illinois Conference is always a pretty good athletic conference, basically kind of a conference tournament in that subsectional. And like you said, Tremont, so I'm not familiar with that gym. I have never been to that gym, but it would be interesting to see kind of a Peoria Manual, Peoria Notre Dame regional championship game being played in Tremont, Illinois. But then you look at some of the potential teams that could travel to Sherrard for that sectional, where you could have potentially the likes of a normal U-High or maybe a Central Catholic or an El Paso Gridley or them traveling from Downs. That's where Tri-Valley High School is at. And then, you know, those Peoria schools coming to Sherrard for the first time, whether it be Manual or Notre Dame or even maybe the Tremont Turks. So, you know, some compelling storylines, no doubt about it, will start to unfold beginning next Monday. And I'm really stoked, you know, for the playing game for Mercer County with a chance to open up with Alleman, and then, you know, if they are victorious, they're get a chance to play Orion on the home
time.
Floor. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So yeah, it's exciting times. But America's original March Madness is here today. Officially, we have girls basketball postseason tipping off. Like we touched on in our first segment, we have a basketball broadcast tonight. Mercer County Rock Ridge girls regionals quarterfinal action, part of the 2A Orion regional. Though Mercer County in the quarterfinal playing at home against Rock Ridge. 7 o'clock tip, pregame coverage at 6:30. Winner of Rock Ridge Mirco gets top seeded Sherrard in the regional on Monday night in the semifinal. What do you think? I think it should be a pretty competitive game tonight between the Rockets and the Golden Eagles.
Oh, I think no question about it. And
they split, you know, in the regular season.
Well, just like kind of the boys who picked up some big wins, you know, kind of hit the wall, the Mercer County girls after picking up the big win over Riverdale. You know, you look at some of the results and then got to get back at it tonight. And I think Coach McDonald has always done a great job with Rock Ridge, with kind of the hand he's been dealt. And then Sean Strahan, you know, as his assistant, Jason Danner helps out over there. Yeah, it's going to be a close game tonight. I think it should be a good one. And then the winner gets the Sherrard Tigers. And I know the last game you did between Elise Sherrard and Rock Ridge, you know, the Rockets were able to hang in there with them. And so we'll see.
And then the rest of that regional is Monmouth Roseville has the other bye into the semifinal round. And then the other quarterfinal game today is Orion at Kewaunee, with the winner of that playing Monmouth Roseville. So like the boys regional at Aledo, I mean, the one in Orion is virtually a conference tournament too in the Track West. You just sub Kewaunee in for Riverdale. But I think that, you know, Kewaunee probably should beat Orion, you know, pretty handily in the quarterfinals today. But I do think, like I mentioned, Rock Ridge Mercer County should be a competitive game. I think Sherrard, with the way that the season has gone, the favorite in that regional and just the postseason pedigree that program has, having won 10 regionals in the past 13 postseasons. I mean, they just every year succeed when it turns to the regional time. So, and then Monmouth Roseville's had a great year too. I mean, I think those two are definitely the favorites to get to the championship game. But you got to play the games, and you never know what can happen in the postseason. So weird things happen, it feels like, in regional sectional games. So I'm excited to to have win or go home game starting tonight.
Well, and the only thing I'll say is, and you can't relate to this, but for me, I like the traditional regional format. I know the IHSA is looking at potentially with the sectional complexes, basically going to a format where just the higher seed would host games in the postseason until you get to the sectional, and then the sectional semifinals and sectional finals would be at the one site. But I just have always thought, even in four-class basketball, I know there's some talk about, you know, the issues with travel, but I just think there's something to be said about having the entire regional, in basketball anyway, you know, not necessarily in any of the other sports, but in basketball, I just think it's always been a special type of situation where you have one regional site, you play all the games at that regional. Because now, do the Orion girls see this? It's weird for me. Orion's hosting a girls basketball regional, but potentially will not play a game at Orion,
correct?
Right? And I don't like that they should at least, if they're the host, they should get to play a game on that floor if it's a play-in game. But the way the format is now, anyway, that's my soapbox today. Is I like regionals, and I like the traditional regional format where every regional game is played at the host school site.
I guess so. I mean, to me, it is what it is, I guess.
But I think they're going away from that. I think it's going to be a situation where it's going to be higher seed hosting through the regional, and then they're just going to have a sectional complex, and that's what they're going to get.
We can talk about that.
No question.
At the State Farm Center, maybe when we do our sports
lab
from there. Who's the new – is it Chris Schwarz is the basketball board?
Yeah,
basketball
I'm not
guy.
Even sure anymore.
We could try to get him on and talk to us about all the all the postseason nonsense that everyone gets up in arms about every year.
Well, I love the games, and I always tell people the best – and this is why I like the regional sites – is because I think the atmosphere at regionals is better than, you know, you want to get to state, but those environments in those local gyms where they're packed and they're small venues, I just think there's something to be really said about those
environments. I think the sectional is the best.
Yeah, and no question about it.
Sectional championship.
And I think it'll be at Girard this year for our local teams are there, and hopefully they are. Hopefully we have two of the four local teams. Will be such a fun environment, and then the level of basketball will be so elite. And like I said, I want to see one of our local teams get to the Bank of Springfield Center. Haven't been to that venue. Like to see, you know, local team play down there, and the feed into the super sectional would be a great super sectional matchup.
At the Bank of Springfield Center. All right, we'll need to take a break, and we'll come back and wrap up Sportsline this morning after this on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ studio. They're trying to push us out. How dare you push us out of the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios?
We're going
to
stay here until 9:05 and see if they bring out a gun.
You got to say bid for bargains fast 5 times.
Bid for bargains.
All right, operators standing by. We have a after bid for bargains. A lot of great deals. Listen for that. All the staff is here. Great opportunity with our local businesses. But we have high school hoops mid-afternoon with Rock Ridge and Warrensburg Latham. That's down at Riverton. And then it's do or die tonight at 6:30, 7 o'clock tip for Rock Ridge and Mercer County in girls 2A regional basketball.
And that Rock Ridge Warrensburg Latham game is a 3 o'clock tip with pregame coverage right around 2:30. All right, they're getting the comedic cartoon like cane to grab us and push us out of the studio. So
Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, that'll just about wrap it up for us on Sportsline. We're back at the normal time at 9 a.m. next week. We'll be able to talk about regional championship basketball. Oh, wow. For girls, who's going to win the regional, and then we'll be able to start previewing the boys' basketball postseason next Saturday. So a lot to get to next week, but it should be a fun day of high school basketball today on the WRMJ Arrows. Just again, one more time, Rock Ridge plays Warrensburg Latham at the Riverton Subway Series Shootout, which is such a great event with so many great games. We talked about it earlier, but the headline game at that shootout is Benton versus Williamsville, both teams that have state championship aspirations in 2A. The Rock Ridge game against Warrensburg Latham tips off at 3 with pregame coverage right around 2:30. The Rockets are now 18-9. Warrensburg Latham, I believe, is 24-4 on the season. And then should be a fun matchup, as we talked about in our last segment, in girls basketball, the postseason tonight, Rock Ridge at Mercer County, regional quarterfinal action. This is part of the 2A Orient Regional, but again, Mercer County playing this game at home tonight in the quarterfinal round against Rock Ridge. A 7 o'clock tip-off with pregame coverage at 6:30. The two teams split their two meetings in the regular season in girls basketball. I think should be a fun matchup between two local conference rivals, with the winner getting to take on the other conference rival in Sherrard on Monday in the semifinals. I love postseason basketball. Should be a fun day today with Rock Ridge and Mirko and girls, and of course the Rock Ridge Warrensburg Latham battle at the Riverton Shootout this afternoon as well. And then also real quickly want to run down kind of the rest of our upcoming sports broadcast schedule throughout the next week or so. Now tonight we'll have Fighting Illini coverage as well from the Fighting Illini Sports Network. Illinois hosting Michigan State. That game tips off at 7 tonight. We'll join coverage in progress at the conclusion of our Mercer County Rock Ridge postseason girls basketball broadcast tonight. So Illinois basketball in progress tonight on the WRMJ airwaves, as we mentioned a moment ago. On Monday night, we'll have girls postseason basketball from the 2A Orion Regional in the semifinal round. Sherrard will play either Mercer County or Rock Ridge, and that'll be a 6 o'clock tip on Monday with pregame coverage right around 5:30 on WRMJ. Tuesday night, boys basketball, the conference finale. Sherrard plays at Mercer County. The Tigers, as we've talked about today, have already clinched the conference championship outright, but we'll wrap up the conference season playing at Mercer County on Tuesday night. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip with pregame coverage at 6:30. Thursday, we're guaranteed to cover a girls' regional championship game with one of Sherrard, Mercer County, or Rock Ridge guaranteed to be in the championship game. That's a Thursday night regional championship 6:30 tip-off with pregame coverage for that game around 6 o'clock, and I know we'll have basketball coverage on Friday as well. Unsure of which game we're covering yet. I think there's a couple of different possibilities, but we'll update you online when we know specifically which game will be at. I think Mercer County plays United that night, and also Rock Ridge is taking on IVC. So a full week of basketball coverage coming up around the WRMJ airwaves with America's original March Madness beginning tonight. Hard to believe, as we talked about earlier, that we're already to the IHSA basketball postseason. Well, I think that will about do it for us. We got to get out of here for Bid for Bargains.
All right, for Ty Taylor, and I'm Jim Taylor, and we're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios, downtown Aledo. This has been the WRMJ Sportsline.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.